There are various verses and chapters of the Bible, especially the Gospels, that are maybe custom tailored to people who are on the fringes, people who are, maybe just brand new in their spiritual journey, new in their walk of faith. And then there are some that maybe that are more geared towards those who are more advanced, people who are like going from good to better and really striving to reach the next level. And then there are some gospel passages that are just, I think, hit everybody equally the same way, just in terms of our humanity. And I think today's gospel is one of those passages that hits us directly in humanity. This challenge of Jesus, and it's one we've all heard 1,000 times, but why do you remove the splinter in your brother's eye when you have the beam in your own eye? First, remove your own beam, and then worry about other people's splinters. But it's the truth. We all love finding splinters in other people's eyes. We all love finding the mistakes and pointing out the flaws, where other people fall short, and so on. And it's just, there's an entire industry, billions of dollars of industry that of gossip and of judgmentalism and of open a newspaper, read a newspaper, or open, watch the news. All of it, it's the same thing. It's just pointing out flaws and faults and all this kind of stuff. And we all do it. I mean, a lot of us are like super eager to listen to it too. Like, oh, really? I didn't know that, you know? So, but where this challenge comes in, it's like, I don't know, how do we make that switch? How do we, practically speaking, how do we make that turn, that corner of truly examining my own self? I came across a few days ago, I was reading a book, I came across a quote from Kierkegaard, who was a 19th, 20th century philosopher and theologian. And I came across this quote, and it just really, as I was preparing for the gospel today, it just, they dovetailed so well together. Now, maybe it's not going to hit you with the same force it hit me, but just listen to what Kierkegaard had said. Most men are subjective towards themselves, but objective towards all others, and frightfully objective at times. But our task is precisely that we become objective towards oneself and subjective towards all others. Now again, maybe that doesn't hit you as like mind-blowing, but I think it's a beautiful synthesis of what Jesus is trying to get across in the gospel today, of being objective with ourselves. We can objectively look at other people and say, here's the borders of this is right and wrong, and you clearly did not fit this, and so, you know, shame on you. But then for ourselves, we tend to waffle a little bit, and we miss those big beams in our own eyes. So, a couple of things that I have found helpful relating to this that I'm going to share with you today. The first comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola. He's one of my favorite saints. He's the patron saint of discernment. And in St. Ignatius' discernment, he has three different modes of discernment. The first mode, discernment, is the highest, it's the surest, it's basically the brick that falls from heaven and knocks you upside the head. It's St. Paul, like, for example, when he was walking, struck to the ground, struck blind, and God says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He knew. Saul knew in that moment. There's no question. This is God speaking to me. That would be first mode discernment, when we just have clarity and we know. Second mode discernment is a little more subtle. That's where he has these 14 or 26, I guess, rules of discernment, where we notice the working of the Holy Spirit. We notice, pay attention to the movements of our heart and how God uses that to speak to us. It's somewhat of an entailed process. But in terms of discerning option A or option B, what does God want in this situation? The discernment of spirits are incredibly, incredibly helpful. But sometimes we don't have the luxury of spending that much time, or sometimes we try to discern and we hear nothing. God is silent, so to speak, and like, okay, I got to make a decision. I don't know what I need to do. That's when St. Ignatius says you drop down to third mode of discernment. And third mode of discernment is more or less, it's essentially just good practical advice. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard third mode discernment pieces here and there, and it's not necessarily like a trademarked by St. Ignatius, but For example, if you're discerning a decision, option A or option B, write out a pros and cons list. That's something St. Ignatius said. Pros and cons of option A, pros and cons of option B. Sit on it for 24 hours, sit on it for a week, and then come back and see which one rises to the surface. That's just good practical advice. You don't need to be a Christian for that advice to make sense. The other piece, he has several different pieces of third mode discernment advice, but the other one that I use all the time, I use it sometimes in confession, I use it in spiritual direction often, and it's this. And you can thank me later. It's super, super helpful. Ask yourself, if there is another person with the exact same set of circumstances that came to you, what advice would you give to them? Now, maybe that doesn't seem mind-blowing, but I am telling you, that is incredibly, incredibly helpful. I'll give you a couple examples. So, think about, I was a high school chaplain, right? 7 years, and so I had these teenagers in my office all the time, discerning things, discerning priesthood or marriage, discerning what college, should I go to this college or that college, or just a lot of questions where they'd be stuck. So one of the things I would love to do is do exactly this. Ask them the third mode discernment questions. So, you know, a 15, 16-year-old girl comes in and she's crying her eyes out from her boyfriend. He's a jerk and he doesn't listen to me and he's pressuring me for this and that. And, you know, I don't know what I should do. I sit down and say, okay, Susie, pretend Mary walks in the room and Mary tells you exactly what you just told me. All identical situation. Sue, what advice would you give to Mary? And without hesitation, Sue would be able to say, well, I tell Mary to dump him. Really? Interesting. You see what happens? It's all of a sudden we're able to take this, the objectivity that we apply to other people, and now I have an ability to apply it to myself. Or just like, you know, the dad, a couple that gets a job offer in another city, another state, and he's like, man, I want this job. It's the next rung up on the ladder. It's pay so much more. There's so many benefits, yada, yada. But we would have to move, and we'd have to be away from our family, and we wouldn't be able to necessarily afford Catholic education in another diocese. So do I go option A or option B? And when people come to me with this kind of stuff, I'll say, okay, well, all right, Joe, if Jack came in and gave you the exact same scenario, what advice would you give to Jack? And a lot of times, Joe would be able to say, well, if Jack really believes that his family is his highest priority and being around his family and having his kids raised around their cousins, then I would tell Jack to stay. There's your answer. See what I'm saying? It's the ability to begin to be objective with ourselves. To stop looking at the splinters and stop looking at everybody else and start to be honest with how we evaluate ourselves. Or even just like for me, this applies to me as well. When I'll tell myself something I would never tell anybody else. You know, I will always be harder on myself than I would on anybody else. And like for Lent's just around the corner. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. You know, in terms of taking on practices for Lent, if I, you know, I like to go hardcore. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to sleep. I'm only going to sleep for 2 hours. I'm going to kneel on broken glass for 5 hours. No. But I think I'm going to do it. Yeah, I can handle that. But again, if I ask myself the question, so if Joe Schmo was to come in and say, Father, this is what I want to do for Lent, I'd look at Joe Schmo and say, you're an idiot. But I won't do that to myself. I hold myself to a different standard. And so this is an incredibly, incredibly helpful tool. Now, the other thing I would say comes from St. John Bosco. Now, St. John Bosco he ran a homeless shelter, basically, for young boys, a boys' home in the 1800s, mid-1800s in Italy. And he would get kids off the street who were kind of hooligans and who were, you know, part of gangs and all this stuff, and he would give them a place to stay. He'd teach them a practical job, how to do woodworking or, you know, carpentry or whatever. And So, and he started a religious order. All these other priests came and joined him in this, and he had a couple hundred boys that he was raising and trying to give practical skills to. And he made a rule for his brother priests who had joined his order that if you see one of these boys and they're doing something dumb, they're out there, you see them doing something stupid, something they shouldn't be doing, and you know when your blood just boils and you just want to go drop the hammer, like, you idiot, what are you thinking? St. John Bosco's rule was, before you go address one of the boys, if they're doing something wrong, you need to address it, you can't just ignore it, but before you go address it and unleash your fury on them, you have to stop and pause and address one thing within yourself that you need to correct. One thing, one fault, one flaw, one area that needs conversion, and then you go talk to the boy after that. Could you imagine if that is how we parented? If we took the principle of the gospel from today, instead of just nitpicking other people's splinters, and we stop, we pause, we take another tug at that beam in our eye, and then we address other people. Imagine if that's how bosses addressed the people who their employees. Imagine if that's how husband and wife addressed each other when there was something that was off within their marriage. The principle of the gospel today is incredibly, incredibly, not just practical, but it's helpful. And so may we have the grace, may we have the courage, may we have the ability to begin this process of truly examining the beam in our own eyes.